Please join me in the spirit of meditation. To the extent that you can, please sit tall in your chair with your feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes if you're comfortable in doing so. Allow your mind to relax as we enter into a contemplative time. The chime of the Tibetan bells will initiate a short silent period. Another will bring us back together. Be present for the bells. I will invite them to ring. Notice the sound fading into silence. As we enter into silence, let us remember the many connections that sustain and uplift us through this religious community. We remember those who preceded us, whose contributions built a free faith, who built this home for its practice. We remember those whose continuing care in thought and deed is an ongoing blessing in our lives, keeping the dream of free religion alive in our time. We also envision those who will follow, the children presently in our care and those not yet born, who will inherit the work of our hands and of our hearts. In silence now, we sit, surrounded by these many connections, visible and invisible, that remind us every day that we are not alone. Let us contemplate them in silence. Spirit of life, we enter into the celebration of Memorial Day, surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. We remember, first of all, the women and men who are currently serving in the armed forces, and we pray for their safe return. We also acknowledge that there are women and men who will not return or did not return, and we grieve their passing. We pause to honor their service and their sacrifice. Let us contemplate them in silence. We pause this hour to give thanks for all the women and men who have served in the nation's armed services. I have not served and so cannot fully imagine the experience of war. But we all know war's aftermath and the toll that it can take on families. This day remembers and acknowledges loss. And so do we remember those whom we have loved and lost. We hold their names and their faces in our mind's eye. We recall the gifts they gave us through the strength of their being, the depth of their love, the fullness of their living, and the courage of their dying. In the quiet of this hour, their names surround us, and they live with us in blessed memory. May we remain together in silence as a tribute to what they have meant to us. for all of the people that we hold in our hearts, in our community, and those that have passed on. May peace be with them. May peace be with us. And may peace be with all under the sun. Amen. Namaste. Aho. May it be so.
Memorial Day, a time of memories, and more specifically, a time of remembering and honoring those who have died in war. Men and women, sometimes nearly still boys and girls, in their youthfulness, have given what is called the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. The wages of war are horrific and even appalling, yet this in no way diminishes the deserved respect and honoring of these soldiers. For this is not a time of glorifying war, but a time of remembering and loving those who are no longer with us in body. Every war casualty is also a casualty in a family somewhere, leaving a gaping hole that is quickly filled with agony. I want to read the lyrics of a song that describes the essence of that experience. If I were the whale cats, I was going to call them wild cats, but if I were the whale cats, I think either name fits. I would have them sing this for you beautifully, but I'm not the whale cats, and so I'm going to mercifully read it to you, and you'll appreciate me. Okay. Am I still available? All right. It's about a war in another time, these lyrics. So I apologize that it does not speak to the participation and sacrifices of women in our current military force. The song is They Dance Alone, as performed by the English musician Sting. So the lyrics are, why are there women here dancing on their own? Why is there this sadness in their eyes? Why are the soldiers here? Their faces fixed like stone. I can't see what it is that they despise. They're dancing with the missing. They're dancing with the dead. They dance with the invisible ones. Their anguish is unsaid. They're dancing with their fathers. They're dancing with their sons. They're dancing with their husbands. They dance alone. They dance alone. Woodrow Wilson in 1914 said, and I think you'll be struck by the remarkable intention in that era, that day, Woodrow Wilson said, therefore, this peculiar thing comes about that we can stand here and praise the memory of these soldiers in the name and interest of peace. They set us the example of self-sacrifice, which, if followed in peace, will make it unnecessary for men and women to follow war anymore. So what are we to do? It seems, in addition to gently holding our grief in our hearts, it is an opportune time to steep ourselves in love and compassion for our lost ones, and to extend the swelling of love and compassion towards those around us, encouraging it to extend even wider and wider into larger circles. Our fallen soldiers will surely be honored.
Michelle Richards offered some insightful comments in our UUA website that I found interesting. I'd like to share. For most Americans, Memorial Day signifies the beginning of summer. It's celebrated with picnics, barbecues, outdoor parties. However, for some Unitarian Universalists, Memorial Day can be accompany uncomfortable feelings. Does honoring the sacrifice of those in uniform also celebrate war? How can we remember the fallen and celebrate at the same time and seemingly endless wars of our country that our country is engaged in? How do we recognize our personal feelings about war, yet support our troops and the families and friends left behind? Perhaps if we go back in history, we should consider where and how this celebration evolved. The very first Memorial Day, according to the story, was originated by newly freed slaves in Charleston, South Carolina, who gathered on May 5, 1865, to express their gratitude for Union soldiers who perished in an open-air Confederate prison. As Yale historian David Blight describes in his book, Race and Reunion, the war was over. Memorial Day had been founded by African Americans in a ritual of remembrance and consecration. But the struggle to own the meaning of Memorial Day and of Civil War memory had only begun. Over the years, as African Americans continued to be enslaved by the system, even as they were freed in the eyes of the law, Memorial Day morphed into a day to commemorate all soldiers who died, both Union and Confederate, as a way to unify the country. Following the First World War, the holiday was expanded to acknowledge the ultimate sacrifice of soldiers in all wars. The holiday lost its original meaning as a celebration of freedom for former slaves who were thankful for their liberation, but we can remember. We can remember and teach our children about the injustice that so many worked so hard to end and about what still needs to be done. This Memorial Day, we can also remember that war is an evil that has plagued our world since time began, and that people continue to die and sacrifice themselves in the cause of freedom all over the world. Additional thoughts by the Reverend David Pyle. While I do not believe in a spiritual place called hell, I think General William Tecumseh Sherman was right when he said, "War is hell." It is a hell that exists in this time, in this world, not in some metaphysical afterlife. I wish with all my heart we could rid ourselves of it. I wish for the day to come when our problems are solved by meeting, not by killing. It's rarely those who should be meeting that face the killing instead. I wish with all my heart for what military forces we have to be a tool for peace, not a weapon of war. Well, I think we should consider others who rightfully contribute to our nation's efforts in other ways. There are conscientious objectors who, for very deeply held beliefs, simply are not able to directly contribute to any armed conflict. Many of them served our country in other ways. And there are those, like my father, Dave Nordwall, who were exempted from military service. Dave was considered an essential employee, an executive of the U.S. Forest Service, whose contribution would help prevent chaos in our own country. You see, when Japan joined the war effort after Pearl Harbor, they formed a strategy to disrupt the American focus on wars overseas to fear a more visible and real domestic threat. The Japanese devised a plan to launch weather balloons on reliable air currents aloft with incendiary devices attached that would land in the vast forests of the Pacific Northwest and with the hope of starting devastating forest fires throughout the West. The Forest Service would be instrumental in that challenge, and my father would lead the cause. Actually, a few of the Japanese devices did work, did start for small fires. They were detected, they were controlled. They did not have the dramatic effect the Japanese envisioned. I never learned whether my father was relieved to be exempt from military service or embarrassed by it. I do know he was very proud of his two sons and their military service. We who long for peace know too well the cost of that peace, know too well the lives ventured, saved, and spent in too many ways, in too many places, the mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, lovers, and friends who no longer walk this way with us, whose days were spent giving us peace. We all desire justice, and yet we forget it's not free. We all desire freedom, and yet disregard its cost. We all desire to be safe, and yet we still disparage war, and we all desire to forget, and yet we dare not be naive. We all desire peace, yet we know not how to get there. Let us be reminded together, and let us remember well the sacrifices made by our women and men in uniform who proudly serve this country, sacrifices that ensure all the freedoms we know and enjoy. Let us hold in our hearts those who gave their lives to preserve our liberty. Let us always remember them in glory.